Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. Today, we're going to be talking about running, and then we're going to talk about running some more because I want to talk to you about things you need to know to complete the Goggins Challenge. The Goggins Challenge was made popular by ultra marathoner and all-around incredible athlete, David Goggins, and it is 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. If you're doing some math there, that is also 48 miles. And friends, I completed the Goggins Challenge for the first time about a week ago. Now, I am not an expert. I am not the athlete that David Goggins is, but I know enough to be dangerous and I had a decent strategy going in. So this episode is part audio journal when I would come in and say how it was going, as well as advice for you should you want to attempt the 4x4x48. Without further ado, here I am. All right, I just finished run number 2. So that's a total of 8 miles. Feeling really good. I'm trying to hold these right around 9 minutes per mile. I'm purposely being conservative at the beginning because I know that physically when this catches up with me, I'm also going to be sleep deprived. All right, even in the second segment, I was already anticipating what I was going to feel like in the 10th, 11th, 12th segment. You guys, the Goggins Challenge is 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. And since it's an independent event, you can begin whenever you want. So I actually chose to begin right around my normal morning run time at 4 a.m. Yes, you can call me crazy right here, but that would mean that I had another run at 8 a.m. and then noon and then 4 p.m., 8 p.m., and midnight. And then I did that for 2 days. Y'all, I was ready for 2 sleep deprived days. I'm a mom of triplets, so I mean, been there. But I also scheduled my run at a time that my mom was going to have my kids. And I really do think that that made it easier for me. I had more energy because I wasn't, well, momming during the day. I want to make mention too that I did normal stuff. And I think that that's what everyone should do. So I knew I would need that mental toughness. Again, you heard me in the second segment anticipating what it was going to be like later. I've been there before. That said, I didn't want to be thinking about the next 4 mile run the entire time I was supposed to be recovering from the previous 4 mile run. And I did this on a Thursday and Friday where I worked. Obviously, I told my boss what I was doing, and it changed my schedule slightly at work. I do have the blessing of remote work and clearly a flexible employer, but I'm really glad that I did that because it helped me dissociate and it helped me be distracted in a positive way in between those runs. Like, I wasn't thinking about the next run the entire time. And I think that that's really, really important. So no matter what your day-to-day looks like, I would recommend that you do normal stuff. Ugh, it is raining outside, so I had to do this last one, number 5 of 12. It's the 8 p.m. run. I had to do it on the treadmill. I used to love this treadmill, and I don't know what has happened. I can't run on it anymore. It's so hard. My legs feel so slow on the treadmill, but it's done. Okay, I just finished day 1 midnight. This is my 6th of 12. This is the one I was most afraid of, like getting up right before midnight and then knocking out 4 miles, but it's done. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. My body remarkably feels all right still at this point, the halfway point. I think the rest in between each effort is really helping. So nonetheless, I'm going to go take a nap and hit that 4 o'clock effort. You know, I also did this midnight one on the treadmill. So I've done 2 of 6 on the treadmill. I don't love it, but this time it wasn't for weather. It was for safety. All right, you just heard from segments 5 and 6. That was my day 1. So again, I did 4 a.m., 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., 8 p.m., and then midnight. You guys, in terms of physical preparation, it's 48 miles. Okay, it's 48 miles. I think that if you can comfortably run 15 miles, you are in the shape to handle this kind of volume. I don't think there's a line in the sand here on how fast you need to be for something like this. So I mean 15 miles without stopping at whatever pace, you are like generally physically prepared enough to do something like this. You guys, if you're faster, you're going to get more recovery. If you're slower, you're going to get less. Now, I ran all of my efforts because I was working, like I said before, and I did want to maximize my recovery time. You could approach this in a number of different ways, though. So as an example, you could do run-walk ratios. Run for 8 minutes, walk for two, or maybe you're doing 9 and 1, where you run for 9 minutes, walk for one. This is called the Galloway method in marathon circles, and it actually shows that it aids recovery. Very, very smart strategy for any type of ultra effort, and I think we can all agree that 48 miles over the course of 2 days, we are in ultra territory here. Another way that you could maybe break it up a little bit would be to walk 1 mile and then run 3. That's 4 miles total. You could even walk 2 miles and run 2 miles. You're going to have a lot less recovery time, but I mean, you could do it, or you could be like me and run everything. Here's the thing. I don't think walking everything is a really good idea, and here's why. You're never going to get to shower or sit eating down. Like, you're not going to get any recovery. No matter how fast or slow you are or what strategy you choose, just do some math. Decide how long your 4 mile segment is going to take you, and then of course the rest is recovery. While we're talking about this though, I want to mention that as you're doing math, be conservative. You've got to make sure that you have a conservative pace and have that from the beginning. You have to do that 4 miler 12 different times. And those latter miles on tired legs, sleep deprived mind, that's going to get rough if you're not being conservative with it. So this was totally out of left field, but I do think it played well for me and I will recommend it for you. I aimed for 60 seconds less than my marathon race pace. My marathon race pace is about 8 minutes per mile. So I aimed for 9 minutes per mile for each of these 4 mile runs. All right, I'm freshly showered from run number 9 of 12. This one, I went too fast. I'm doing a lot of these with Peloton outdoor runs. And so here's the problem. When there's a really good playlist or like you're really vibing with the music, you go too fast, which I understand how that could be like great in a race scenario. But this is something where I'm trying to consciously pull back. So I've really, really got to be careful about that. I run with an Apple Watch. I know that Garmin has a tool that will basically put guardrails on your pace. So like if I wanted to go anywhere from 8:45 to 9:15, it would make an audible beep if I went, you know, below or above that. I don't have that capability, but I'm definitely probably going to run like watching my phone next time, especially if it's a great playlist. I don't know what our water bill is going to be like. I'm taking so many showers and my wonderful house husband is staying after all of the laundry. He's amazing and deserves a shout out here. Still no update on that water bill, but hey, going a little bit faster pace did not turn my digestion upside down. And I'm bringing that up because we have to talk about fueling, okay? You've got to eat the types and amounts of foods that are going to agree with constant activity for 2 days. If you've ever run an ultra marathon, you know as a general rule, you want to stay away from foods high in protein or fat. Now, there's definitely an exception here. If you're a fat-adapted athlete, I am not. So, contrary to the way that I usually eat and that you probably eat as well, high protein, a lot of leafy greens, satiating, volume-heavy foods, you've got to think exactly the opposite. So quick-burning carbohydrates and things that are going to digest easily or aid digestion. Now, this is not your ticket to be eating M&Ms and Pop-Tarts the entire time, okay? Here are a few healthy foods that worked for me. Bananas, rice crackers, sweet potatoes, baby food, Yes, you heard me right. Baby food digests really easily, and this is a trick from the ultra marathoning community. Also, calorie-free carbonated beverages, just because they settle your tummy, as well as ginger chews. I get mine on Amazon. You can usually find them at health food stores. They're just little chews with actual ginger in them, and again, that's going to help with digestion and maybe settling or preventing an upset tummy. I'm saying all these types of foods, but I also want to remind you not to eat large portions. Eat the right types of food, not too much. One of my meals, you guys, was fish tacos, sweet potato fries, and ice cream. It was a date with my husband, and remember, I was doing normal things. So I ate normal amounts as if it were my regular dinner. That did not fare well for me during the next run, which was at 8 p.m. on day two, because of course, by the time I was done with like our meal out, I only had a couple of hours until that next run. I also want to mention, you don't need to eat in between every run. 4 miles isn't that much. It's just not. You don't need a full meal when you're done with it. So eat the right types of things, but not too much. I think as a rule of thumb, if you eat about 75% of what you normally would for a normal meal, not a splurge, then you're going to be fine. And while we're talking about fueling, let's talk about supplements. You guys, I love a highly caffeinated run as much as the next girl. But friend, once you get past your first couple of runs, like for me, after 4 a.m., 8 a.m., a lot of caffeine, not gonna cut it. Especially if you want to rest during naps or at night between efforts. So I used, you know, I love Red H Nutrition. I absolutely used Go Juice between efforts. That has nothing to do with caffeine. It's BCAAs. It's caffeine free anyway, but I did not use Formula H, which is what I usually use because it has like 300 milligrams of caffeine per serving. And while digestively, it's a really great choice versus other brands of pre-workout, that's a lot of caffeine. So I used Human Super Beets. This is a new to me brand. I'm sure there are other brands out there. The point is it's a stimulant free pre-workout, and that's what you want to choose for something like this. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I needed to avoid digestion issues. Run number 11 and done, just under a 9-minute pace. Something that's really interesting is, I'm hungry, right? I've been moving all day long. I'm very hungry, but I'm also being conscious of what I'm eating and how much I'm eating. I can't exactly like gorge on pizza and ice cream because at the point where I'm done with a run and I take a shower and then I go to eat, I've got to run in a couple more hours. So I've been really conscious of not doing anything that's too protein heavy and would take too long to get through my system. And then also portions. So I'm trying to stay nice and hydrated so I can also be satiated and not like uncomfortably hungry. But food, should somebody attempt something like this, something I would recommend is to be very careful about how you are fueling. Let's talk about sleep, baby. Seriously, let's talk about sleep. This is gonna seem obvious, but you need to sleep. You need to take naps. I know there are people out there who are gonna grind through 2 days with no rest, and you've probably read about them or heard about them. I'm not one of those people that can do that. And I think that if you're listening to this and you have any other responsibilities in life, so showing up as a good spouse, mom, friend, employee, I am telling you, you need to sleep. It doesn't mean you can't take a long sleep effort when you're done. I mean, real talk, after the final run on the second day, I slept for almost 9 hours. I needed it. But it's going to do you well to get those little cat naps in between when you can. Back to your very simple math from earlier, decide where you will be able to slide that in. get your sleep environment like you want it. Maybe that requires like an eye mask or some blackout curtains or a fan for white noise during the day, but absolutely try to rest. You guys, I did not experience any soreness or pain with this effort. I would say even when everything was all said and done with, I was less sore than like a 10-mile run. Isn't that wild with 48 hours? And I think there are a lot of pieces to that puzzle, sleep being one of them. I slept a lot. Another thing that I want to mention is I, as a regular supplement, take Super Flexi. And so I think that went into it as well. And I also use Leaf Relief CBD gel as my moisturizer daily. I think the combination of those things, the sleep, the Super Flexi, the Leaf Relief, I think that's why I just wasn't that sore. I just finished up my midnight run number 2. This was run 12 out of 12. Averaged a 9:17. I'm going to chalk that up to the treadmill, but I'm done. I am done with the Goggins challenge. So, wow. Yeah, I'm done. I'm very proud. I feel remarkably well. So I don't know if like I'm about to be debilitated and really sore in 12 hours or something, but I will say like over the course of the 2 days of this, I expected to feel more physically. Anyway, I'm done. I'm proud. I'm going to bed. Obviously, I'm hearing this audio journal with some hindsight, but I have no regrets on not sharing this as I was going. I think if this is something that you are thinking of attempting, you can be as public about it as you choose. Obviously, here's a podcast that you're listening to about it. So I do think the Goggins Challenge is an experience to be shared. But that said, on the days of the actual challenge, I just found it helpful not to tell people I was doing it. I had some people in my inner circle. My Strava friends definitely caught on about, you know, 5 4-mile runs into, when it was 8 o'clock PM and I was running, they knew something was up. But Instagram, Facebook, no. I didn't need the added pressure. And the entire purpose of doing something like this, like doing things that will build grit, hard things for the sake of hard things, is to do it for yourself. I don't want to tell you what to do. My point is, it can be your choice. And this is a fantastic challenge to learn something about yourself. You're doing it for yourself. There are no medals, accolades. There aren't even any online results with the Goggins Challenge. You don't get a t-shirt. And guess what? 90% of the population, they're gonna have no idea what you're talking about when you say, "Oh, I did it." And that's sort of the point. It's a really good opportunity to do something for yourself and to learn something about yourself. Thank you so much for listening to my experience about the Goggins Challenge. I know that at this point you either think, "Wow, that was interesting. I don't want to do anything like that, so it was nice to live vicariously through you." That's nice, lady. And thank you for listening. Or you are intrigued, like you're a little bit intrigued and think, "I might want to take a crack at that." And if that's you, I want to let you know the show you just listened to actually originally was a blog that I shared with my circles. And some people raised their hands and said, "Yeah, I might want to do this. Like virtually, it would be neat to have a group to check in with." And so that is in the works. I don't know all the details right now. I do know that I have some podcast partners that would be willing to support the effort. So I want to call your attention to the show notes. If you click details or swipe up, you're going to see a link there for the Run Lift Mom Strava Run Club. And all of the details are going to come to that Strava Run Club first. So if you want details on a fall virtual Goggins Challenge that you can enjoy with the support of community. Again, it's going to be in the show notes. Just click details or swipe up. And until I get into your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8, and this has been the Run Lift Mom Podcast. It's time for the Alouette product of the week, and this week it is my favorite product, the restorative enzyme peel. Yes, this is the one that I offer a free sample for. You can go to peelsample.com. I love this because it is an exfoliation process that only takes a minute. Nothing complicated or insane or blades or chemicals about this. This is aloe vera based with fruit enzymes. You guys, it couldn't be easier to use. What you're gonna do is just put a pea-sized amount onto your fingers, rub it on dry skin, you heard? Dry skin for about a minute, and then you see dead skin cells visibly clump up. You can wipe them right off. I just love that I can see and feel these tangible results. There aren't any chemicals, blades, anything like that to get your skin nice and smooth. You use this on your face, for duh, but then also you can use it on your hands or feet. So if you've got barbell hands that you're trying to get rid of without taking a blade to them, this is it. If your feet, if you've been doing a lot of running, if your heels need some help, this will get them in tip-top shape so you can wear sandals again in the spring. It is the restorative enzyme peel. I want you to click details or swipe up. Gonna depend on the player you're in. You can click right over to that product and check it out.